podcast fra E24.
God sommer, kjære lytter. Nå det ferie, skuldrene senket. Dette et høydepunkt fra sesongen. Så lena tilbake, nytt sommeren, og kanskje hører du noe du ikke fikk med deg første gangen. Verden har fått helt nye trusler. Innen kunstig intelligens pågår et kappløp mellom land, selskaper og ondsinnede angripere. Vinner eller taper vi? Hva trusselbildet fremover? Sikkerhetsdirektøren i verdens største cybersikkerhetsselskap dagens gjest i E24-podden. Velkommen til en ny episode av E24-podden, denne gang fra verdens største sikkerhetskonferanse i tyske München. Dette intervjuet med Palo Alto Networks foregår naturlig nok på engelsk. Jeg heter Sindre Heyerdahl, produsent i Oslo Erik Holm Nyvold. Wendy Whitmore, Chief Security Intelligence Officer in Palo Alto Networks. Welcome to E24 Podden.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here today.
I'm very excited that you are joining us. And first of all, tell my listeners what Palo Alto Networks does, because even though your market cap is way beyond the biggest company in Norway, Equinor, I'm not sure all listeners are so familiar with what you do.
Yes, so Palo Alto Networks is the largest cybersecurity company in the world. We, as of a few days ago, when we announced the acquisition of CyberArk and closed, we now have over 23,000 employees throughout the world and operate in over 133 countries. So quite a big global presence when it comes to cybersecurity. We're most known for the origin of the company, which was started with network firewalls, but have now expanded very much into a platform that includes EDR technology and XDR technology in security operations centers, includes secure browser, cloud capabilities, as well as our Unit 42 brand, which is threat intelligence and consulting related to breach response, as well as proactive services and threat hunting throughout the world. So we've got a very broad portfolio.
And you have a portfolio that also stretches to Norway, obviously. You have a lot of Norwegian clients.
Yes, as well as employees based in Norway.
Yeah.
Yes.
And why are you here at the foremost security conference in the world?
Well, I think cybersecurity is a critical component of any security plan now. So when we look at countries throughout the world who are trying to protect themselves against the latest threats, when we look at international and foreign policy, so much of it relates to the cybersecurity capabilities to secure critical infrastructure, to secure governments, and to secure organizations throughout the world.
And this is really what we need to understand, isn't it? That IT, tech security, it has a lot to do with global security threats nowadays. We can't just look at the hardware, or we can't talk about any future conflict without understanding what's going on in cyberspace.
Right. I think cybersecurity is such a critical foundational element of national security, regardless of what country you're from in the world. All of that really is very interconnected and related. So we, for example, released research over the past week into what we are calling shadow campaigns. So it was a threat actor operating out of Asia who targeted 37 countries throughout the world and was particularly looking at their ministries of defense and finance and the interior, and really wanting to understand how each of those organizations operate within the confines of their countries, how they interact with partners and allies throughout the world, and what their strategies were. And so I think that one particular glimpse, right, really identifies the strength of cybersecurity and the need to have insights into it in order to effectively protect the security of your country.
Back in Norway, we had just this week a new report out it concluded some Russian hackers tried to meddle in the recent parliament election in Norway last year. That probably doesn't come as a surprise to you.
Unfortunately not, right? I think election security is a critical concern all throughout the world in every country. And when you have data that is being transferred over networks, we need to make sure that it's as secure as possible.
And Wendy, you can give us an exclusive look into the threat landscape we are facing right now with all your knowledge as the foremost security company as well. What are you seeing right now as the trends?
Well, so I'll divide our threat actor categories into two to make it straightforward. So first, it would be nation state actors, which are typically countries who are operating with some sort of a nation state objective. Oftentimes that's espionage, so stealing data so they can determine how to interact with other organizations and countries throughout the world. And then the second category would be what we typically refer to as cyber criminals. So those actors, they may be interested in conducting ransomware attacks. They may be stealing data and extorting it from a company. But oftentimes they have a financial motivation in order to get paid on the back end. And so when we look at those types of threats, both of them are fueled by advancing technologies. And so it wouldn't be a cybersecurity conversation if we didn't talk about AI and how that's fueling the speed as well as the scale of attacks that we're seeing throughout the globe. And both cyber criminals and nation state actors are using AI to advance their capabilities and to really conduct parts of the attacks much faster and much more efficiently than they used to before.
And as all listeners have comprehended, AI is developing really rapid, really fast. What do we need to understand now when it comes to cybersecurity and the landscape when AI is developing this fast?
So I think what's most important for your audience to understand is that AI is not only a tool that attackers can use to make their attacks more successful, but AI is its own attack surface that can be attacked and used as the ultimate insider in a corporate environment, inside a government, or even to a personal user who's using it individually. And so the need to secure our AI systems is greater than ever. That's clearly something that we're very passionate about at Palo Alto Networks, is making sure that cybersecurity for AI goes hand in hand with the innovation that's going on with AI.
Do we manage to keep up with the threats scenarios from AI? Do we develop the defense mechanisms as fast within AI?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's going to change over time. So today, I believe that the defense is outpacing the attackers in their usage of AI and how effectively they're able to defend networks at scale now, at a scale that was previously unimaginable, I think, by the human brain. An example of that is our own internal SOC at Palo Alto. We have detect up to 30 billion attacks per day. Out of that data set, 9 million of those, up to 9 million per day, are new, so novel attacks that haven't been seen before. And with our usage of AI and automation of detection capabilities, we're able to distill that into one attack that a human uses to investigate per day. So very manageable scale, right? We've got a good, amazing team of engineers and detection analysts and responders, but only one person per day is able to then need to fully investigate an attack out of that 30 billion. Those are all great numbers, right? But when we look at where this is going, I think that attackers have not yet harnessed the full capabilities, and we're likely to see more of that increase in effectiveness, increase in their scale, increase in the creativity that they're taking to apply generative AI to attacks and data sets, and we're likely to see some bigger breaches this year as well.
Who are the bad guys? Which countries, if you should name someone, or hacker groups from which countries are most active nowadays?
The top four nation state actors that we're tracking are Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. And they're all very active, mainly in different ways, actually. And then on the cyber criminal side, that's a space that's quite dynamic. Attack groups are switching team members, if you will. They're trading players on one team to the next as infrastructure gets taken down by the defenders throughout the world. So, for example, we work at Palo Alto very closely with law enforcement agencies all throughout the world to share information and then to disrupt attackers. So as that type of activity occurs where their network gets disrupted, we are then seeing that attackers have a pattern of changing out team members, they change trajectory of tactics, and that's all a pretty dynamic space at this point.
How do you cope with it at Palo Alto Networks?
Well, I think that for us, key is visibility into the network, into the devices on the network, into the devices that are in the cloud, and really being able to piece that together as quickly as possible and as simplified as possible. That's the key to be able to say, hey, we know attackers are continuing to mature their capabilities, but we are going to outpace them with our detection and response capabilities.
You yourself, you have an extensive background from security, from defense. You have led a lot of teams trying to combat threats and threat level. And you began your career as a special agent with the U.S. Air Force. Modern warfare, how rapid is that changing when you consider what we've just talked about, AI and the cybersecurity threats?
Well, I think the cybersecurity domain is such a foundational element of modern warfare now. I don't think that's going to go away, and I don't think it's going to change. It's only going to become more so with the advent of AI technologies and capabilities.
Is it even possible to conduct warfare in these days without having very powerful IT or cybersecurity force?
I think it's very hard to do it without that, right? So you're seeing with Russia and Ukraine, in particular, the Russians using the digital domain, so computer networks, to prep the battlefield in advance of physical attacks. So that might be taking a power grid offline in a city that they're planning to attack or invade. It may be disconnecting a water supply and maybe conducting a DDoS, so distributed denial of service attack, in advance to distract resources and put them elsewhere before physical warfare is conducted.
How should Norway try to mitigate this in what we are also spending money on? We are, as most European countries, now in a rapid advancement of military spending. But the problem will often be, do we spend the money right?
Yes, I think the biggest priority is protecting critical infrastructure and making sure that those systems are resilient. So making sure that the power supply, telecommunications, healthcare, the water grid, all of those areas are able to detect attacks quickly, to respond and contain them as fast as possible, and then to make sure that those systems are operationally resilient, meaning we understand that attackers are going to specifically try to attack your networks to take systems and capabilities offline, to disconnect users from, let's say, the ability to connect to their banks or other financial systems. And we need to make sure that we can rebound to operational activity as quickly as possible, ideally within minutes to hours, so that we decrease the downtime of those attacks.
And when you see how Western militaries, democracies are spending money defense-wise these days, I gather you can't say very much specific about the Norwegian expenditure, but in general, are we focusing enough on cybersecurity, IT, the digital frame?
I think it's improving. I think we'd all like to see it improve even faster, right? So ensuring that technological debt, so, you know, meaning the investments that we've made in the past, aren't then governing what gets made in the future, because we've got to close those gaps as quickly as possible. I think that politicians, the people in government who are allocating funding, really need to value the importance of understanding that networks being kept up to speed with the latest technology and capabilities is actually now a critical component of critical infrastructure throughout the world. And it should be seen as that type of spending.
And could you say something about how much of our defense expenditure should be allocated to IT, the digital? Are there some kind of rules or something we should consider as a percentage like that?
I don't think there are hard and fast rules that we're recommending and governed by, but I think that as governments look to allocate defense spending, I think every expenditure, whether it's in offensive weapons capabilities, whether it's in defense systems and technology, all of that should have a technology and security component to it. Just again, realizing that that's really the foundational layer of all of any and all of these capabilities.
And when it comes to modern warfare, what we've seen on the battlefield of Ukraine, as you mentioned, has been a massive and for some, surprisingly, overwhelming drone warfare, where you now can't even move on the battlefield without having a drone advantage. Is that just going to be more and more going forward with more components, more AI within it?
I think you're going to continue to see technology advance all aspects of warfare. So certainly that relates to drones and any technology that can help humans gain an advantage on the battlefield and do so in a way that saves human life.
When you are here, what are your customers, what are the countries you're meeting saying about what Palo Alto Networks can contribute?
A lot of conversation related to the relationships between Europe and the U.S. And I think that provides an opportunity for organizations like Palo Alto Networks to be that fabric and glue that really connects environments, make sure that organizations throughout the world are very technologically capable, have access to the latest advances, and that we're continuing to build very strong relationships across borders throughout the world.
And you call 2026 the defense year. What do you imply by that?
Yes. Yeah, so in our predictions work, we've called 2026 the year of the defender. And that really, I think, relates to the advancements we see with the deployment and implementation of AI systems within defense. So you've seen us make a wide variety of investments, everything from secure browsers, which have become incredibly critical when it comes to AI systems and the way that humans interact with large language models. A lot of that traffic gets pushed through the browser, so it's more important than ever to have a secure browser. That's going to help us in 2026 as we look to effectively defend our environments. Another critical area is related to identity security. So in almost 90% of the cases that we investigate every year, identity plays a huge role in these attacks, whether it's an attacker stealing a privileged identity, whether it's them misusing one, creating new privileged identities, all of that are critical parts of attacks. And so we really feel like the ability to identify those attacks quickly and prevent them as soon as any malicious activity has occurred is going to be critical in defense this year.
And I know you are very into how AI can play a role as a force multiplier in the defense of Europe.
Well, we see AI become a force multiplier really for every organization that uses it. So on the negative side of that, right, attackers can turn a team of 1 to 2 people into what looks like you know, a small, effective, efficient army because of the capabilities. And so on the positive side, any organization then also has that capability to drive that level of efficiency and operations to scale, especially as we start seeing more leverage of agentic AI systems and the implementation of them.
Has Europe risen to the challenge now? Are we on the right track? Or are there some lost opportunities here as you see it?
Well, I think ideally we're going to see innovation in Europe continue to improve and expand when it comes to AI and new technology capabilities. I think that's critical for the success of Europe, but certainly the success of the world. And so we're excited about what we're seeing about the partnerships that we've been driving and the organizations we're working with to make everyone as secure as possible, and optimistic about what we can do together in the future.
And you certainly have enough to do going forward in Palo Alto Networks.
Yes, we're quite busy. I think, defending and protecting organizations throughout the world, and really looking forward to doing more of that in 2026.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the interview, Wendy Whitmore, and good luck with all the rest of the program down here in Munich.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time today. It was great to talk to you, and hope you have a wonderful rest of your time here in Munich as well.